Welcome to Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Hasty, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Padres just finished a series against the Dodgers. Maybe you heard they lost 2 of 3. Padres had an off day. I think it was much needed. Now come the A's. Ryan, where would you like to start?
Yeah, let's start with that Dodgers series. I thought it was telling. I think it showed some of the Padres' biggest strengths and their biggest weaknesses, frankly. Good teams can expose you. What did the Dodgers do to not only win the series, but really sort of handle the Padres here?
So when you phrase the question like that, I'll say they threw good pitchers and their players that they are paying to be their biggest stars. Now, they're paying a lot of people, but the top of their order came through and the Padres didn't. Did the top of their order come through in any huge, magnificent way? No, but like they came through again and again. Freddie Freeman, 2 doubles one night, 2 homers another night. Shohei Ohtani, not only pitches, which we're not going to ask Jackson Merrill or Fernando Tatis Jr. to do, but, hits a home run, leadoff home run. He was on base the first game quite a bit. Didn't work out. Padres, I agree with you, about showed their strengths, coming through just enough. Also, like they got a little production out of Manny Machado, Miguel Andujar. They scored enough to win game two. They could have won. Listen, they could have been swept. They could have won 2 of 3. They couldn't have swept. They weren't in the last game. I don't care what Craig Stammen said. They were not in the last game. So that's basically, I think, the series in summation. And if it were the White Sox, the Cardinals, the Reds, the Yankees, there wouldn't have been as much angst about it, right? We would have been talking about, oh, pretty much same old thing for the Padres, right? You know.
But didn't get swept.
The Dodgers. Yeah, right. Well, it was the same old thing. They lost some close games. They won a close game. They're not top of the order, not hitting very well. It's like the same old story with these guys, except for that whole Mason Miller error, which had never happened, or him losing a game, which had never happened for the Padres. It was the Dodgers. So, you know, it was, you know, magnified.
Yeah, I think that there were 2 or 3 really big moments in this series. Number one, you just mentioned, is the Mason Miller error. Let's reset the scene here. It's late in a tie game. Dodgers have a guy on first base. Just as Mason Miller is starting his motion towards home, they catch the guy jumping off. He is dead to rights. And Mason Miller goes to pick him off at first and throws it into right field.
Yeah, he threw it 86 miles an hour, which might be slow for Mason Miller, but he's not that far away from Ty France. And Ty France isn't expecting to throw that hard. And it moves a little bit. And it was off target. So that's on Mason Miller. Ty France thought he should have caught it, but that's on Mason Miller. And yeah, like, would Mason Miller have gotten out of that inning? Yeah, probably at that point. And would the Padres have scored? Don't know. You know, but that cost him the game. And they lost. Okay, they lost 5-4. Look, if you've watched the Padres and Dodgers for a long time, I mean, I get it because I watch it and say the same thing. Like the Dodgers generally find a way to capitalize on the Padres' mistakes, much as the Padres do on other lesser teams, and not so much against the Dodgers. The Dodgers, you know, they're their big brother. They're a better team. Now, I will say, and I don't know what you thought, Ryan, I would say I thought the Padres, when you're in a series with the Dodgers, especially the state of the Dodgers right now, with maybe the way their starting pitching is, but still the Padres face 2 of their best guys. Like I thought the Padres, if they could get some production out of the guys they're supposed to be getting production out of, I thought the Padres matched up well.
Yeah, no, the games were, I thought, fairly competitive, tight. You know, I think the first 2 could have gone either way. So yeah, I thought that they matched up fine. These are not the days of Andy Green and Doc Roberts getting into a shoving match behind home plate, and Andy Green saying afterwards, we have no hope against them this year, but hey, down the road, we're coming, right? That moment has arrived. The Padres are playing the Dodgers competitively. But you know what? What you said is universal. Whether it's baseball or other sports, good teams find ways to win, right? Or as an old friend of ours might say, winners find solutions. The Dodgers found a way to take that series. And my goodness, Kevin, it helps when you have the greatest player on the friggin' planet, doesn't it? Shohei Ohtani hits a home run to lead off game 3, pitches fairly well, and earns the win. A guy who has just been something we've never seen before in Major League Baseball.
When you see it in person, like, I mean, you know that, wow, that's super hard, and you think about it. But like when you see him playing like he does, and I realize he's just a designated hitter. He's not out on the field, but you know, he's hitting doubles, he's stealing bases, and then you know that he's preparing to pitch the next day. Like, and what starting pitchers do, and the total concentration that they put into that one start for 5 days, and here's this guy doing what he's doing at a high level. It's remarkable. It really is. And they have him, and everyone else doesn't, and it helps. But the Padres haven't been destroyed by Shohei Ohtani, and they're being destroyed from within by their stars not performing. Now, they don't have, like, we can't with any definitive voice say that the Padres have three future Hall of Famers in their first three spots, and we can do that about the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman. The Padres have one, and that's that, because you know, there's Hall of Famers, there's future Hall of Famers, and then there's really good players. The Padres have a future Hall of Famer and a couple what we think are really good players, and those none of those guys are playing like the level that they're supposed to.
Right, and that's where I'd like to go next. One of those Hall of Very Good guys, at least at the moment, is Fernando Tatis Jr. Continues to struggle. You wrote something that was in yesterday's newsletter, and I liked it so much, Kevin, that we repurposed it for print today because I think it needed to reach as large of an audience as we could get it to. About what exactly has gone wrong with Fernando Tatis. A month ago, we could say he's not hitting home runs, but at least he's hitting the ball hard. That's not necessarily happening anymore, is it?
No.
What, in your deep dive into the numbers, at least, how bad are things?
They're going backward. You know, obviously there's a lot of places you can read it now. So you could get into the fine numbers there, but he's hitting the ball on the ground. I mean, it's been going on for a month. Recently, not even as hard. It's actually benefited him since he's gotten some hits by those soft grounders because, you know, he still can run and speed doesn't slump unless you don't, you know, try. And yeah, he's lost. And as far as my explanation for why, I'm not one of the internet detectives and I'm not a hitting coach. Everyone's got an answer. But the fact is, if you watch Fernando Tatis Jr. and you take some of these things that have been on social media by people and they're like, this is it. You go and you look at the video that they showed and you go, oh yeah, yeah, that's it. And then you look at someone else and they say, this is it, something entirely different. And here's the video. Oh my gosh, yeah. Fernando Tatis Jr. is doing, he's lifting his leg, he's not. He's meeting the ball out front, he's not. He has his hands here, he has his hands here. Like, he is changing everything. And now he's gone to, I think the way that I put it was, he was hitting 111 mile an hour line drives early in the season and holding his head high. And now he's obviously in a funk. So is Jackson Merrill. It's affecting them. I would say it's affecting Manny Machado too, but he doesn't show it. So right now these guys are just, I mean, I hate to say it, but they're lost up there, and it happens. And you know, you can get out of it like that. It's worrisome.
It is worrisome. And again, this isn't, in a way, it's impressive given that the Padres are playing as well as they are. Given that the three players everybody can name, not name Mason Miller, are struggling, right? I'd like to ask about Jackson Merrill here. Climbed the fence to try to bring back a Shohei Ohtani home run on Wednesday. Appeared to have tweaked something, what, in his back or in his side, came out of the game. What's the level of concern over there about him, and do you think he'll be able to play this weekend against the A's?
Well, supposedly it's the ribs, and he, you know, is okay and just sore, like that all the imaging is good and all that, and he's not going to go on the IL. So, okay, great. You know, we'll see. I'm not trying to be skeptical, just saying like he's out here for a couple days probably. So, you know, there was some thought maybe, you know, even from people inside that it wouldn't be the worst, not for him to have an injury, but for him to get a little break. So maybe he'll get a 2 or 3 day break and we'll see. But it's supposedly or evidently not going to go on the IL.
Okay. I mean, if they were to put him on the IL, could they backdate it to what, yesterday?
Yes.
Or would it be today? Okay.
It would be backdated to Wednesday.
To Wednesday. Okay.
Well,
Thursday.
Well, I'm sorry, to Thursday. Yeah. Don't ask me those questions. Yeah, it's Thursday. I don't know what day of the week it is, whatever the day off was. Here's the back date goes to the day after the last time he participated.
Okay. So if that were the case, if they wanted to say give him a 10-day break to get right physically and otherwise, he actually would only miss X number of games, not 10.
They have 2 days off, so yeah, you got 3 games, 6 games, another day off, 7, 8, 9. He would miss nine games.
Interesting. And I only ask this, Kevin, and it's that time of year where I start looking at minor league stats, and that's really dumb on my part. You look, the AAA El Paso Chihuahuas, I don't think have a lot of guys who could help the big league San Diego Padres, at least in terms of the batting order. But I've been intrigued with Jace Bowen. Humor me for 30 seconds and tell me what kind of a prospect he is based on what you saw in spring training.
Based on what I saw, what everyone saw, I think he could help the Padres. He's got a little bit of a pop. And he plays the outfield and he can run, because he hasn't been in the major leagues. Bryce Johnson brings that and Bryce Johnson can work in at bat. And, you know, they decide right now, I guess, that Bryce Johnson's the guy. I'm told Jace Bowen is a guy who, you know, should be here at some point, and certainly would have been the guy if Jackson goes on the IL. And I wouldn't be surprised if any day Jace Bowen's up, because like, the way that he looked in spring and the hopes that they have for what this guy could be. Now, the reason that I say him over, say, a Bryce Johnson is because of the homer potential, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Bryce Johnson's not going to come off the bench and give you a homer. I'm not saying that Jace Bowen fixes the Padres, right? But like, neither has moving this guy to this spot in the order, this guy to this spot in the order, and moving this guy to this here and getting these three guys in the lineup. It works occasionally, but nothing has gotten the Padres going like crazy. So why would it be the worst thing in the world for Jace Bowen to come up? And I would expect that it would happen here at some point.
Right. And keep in mind, Ramon Laureano is a free agent after this year. You know, when they talk about him potentially, Jace Bowen potentially helping the big league Padres, maybe some of that is with one eye set on next year. Right. Is with one eye saying maybe he could play left. You know?
And look, Ramon Laureano needs to get right. Right. I mean, like what I'm saying is there's lots of ways to fit Jace Bowen into this equation that you're not fitting Bryce Johnson into. And I want to make sure that I'm clear on this, because a lot of times the call for the guy from the minor leagues is like as if it's going to change everything. And that's not what I'm saying. But like, yeah, Jace Bowen has a spot on this team, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's funny, you know, this Padres club, they've played exactly 50 games right now. They have not made position player changes, really. I mean,
is it 49?
Is it 49? You're right. They're 29 and 20. So this will be their 50th.
You asked me to do math earlier, and I'm not sure if I was right, but that one I'm pretty sure I have. Yeah.
So they played 49 games, and with the exception of calling guys up for injuries, there have not been a we're sending you down to the minors conversation yet this year, has there?
No, there have been Sungmon Song and Rodolfo Duran. And right. For a while, I mean, what was that? A couple weeks ago? So for a while, there was nobody changed. Right.
Yeah. Which is interesting. It's very not 2026, you know?
Yeah. Right now, one of the points you made was that they don't have much down there, but also, right, like they feel like we can say that they're not performing and be 100% right, but like, they also have the guys that they need to perform. Like, right. This isn't like, oh, we didn't know. No. These are the guys that you said you're going to ride with and that you believe you should be able to. And mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like we've been talking about this forever, but like the issue here is Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado, and Jackson Merrill. And really in the last few weeks, Xander Bogaerts. But I mean, really the three guys that you are projecting to be your big producers have not been basically all year. That's the Padres' problem. They're like, we could stop the conversation there and just sit on our thumbs and wait, for them to produce or not, and watch their record go like this if they don't, because right. That's the issue. Now, once those guys get fixed, then we can start focusing on some ancillary pieces and the rotation. But until then, this is all like nonsense, anything else. Those guys have to produce.
Right. And this is another reminder too, Kevin. Good teams don't try guys out on the fly, right? Bad teams do. We can talk about a lot of San Diego Padre teams that, hey, bring up this dude and give him 20 games and see what happens. And if it doesn't work, we'll try another dude. Teams that are trying to win World Series don't say, yeah, we're going to put Jace Bowen in center field for the foreseeable future and see how it goes. because it doesn't really end well, usually.
I can only think of one team that does that, the Dodgers, who like call up, gosh darn it, Trace Thompson. Who ends up having the greatest, 3 months that any Thompson has ever had, and knowing who his brother is. But like, yeah, no, you're 100%. You could call up and you can have a David Peralta, Donovan Solano. You could have a Jace Bowen come, and that is absolutely not something you're trying to do.
No, not at all. A 3-game series starts tonight against the Oakland/Sacramento/Las Vegas Athletics, 6:40 tonight, 6:40 tomorrow, a little bit later start time tomorrow, and a 1:10 start on Saturday. Sacramento, we'll call them the Sacramento A's because that's where they play their home games. Sacramento's 26-24. They're in first place in their division, Kevin. They're coming off two really impressive games against the Angels, who are really struggling, but one, I believe both of them in extra innings. They've won three in a row. They have a game and a half lead over Texas. Some of this might be fluky. They're 14th in run differential. They're 7th in OPS, 18th in ERA. But you know what? This is a team that's playing well and has some pretty nice pieces.
You want to talk about fluky? Maybe this is the fluky series then, because some of those numbers are better than the Padres. The A's are young and plucky, and probably the wrong time of year to be playing them before they run out of luck or talent, or you got to be experienced. There's all sorts of things that go wrong over 162 games that expose, as I've said, a team that whose stars aren't hitting, or that is young and inexperienced, or doesn't have the pitching depth or the bullpen or whatever. But the A's are a good team that you're playing at the wrong time if you're the Padres.
Exactly. They have three guys who are absolutely on fire right now. Shea Langeliers is their catcher. He has an OPS of 970 and 12 home runs, and it's May, Kevin, and he's a catcher. It's pretty amazing. Nick Kurtz has an OPS of 921. He has hit 8 home runs. It's just been excellent. And then old friend Brent Rooker. You may remember him from a trade with the Minnesota Twins. Old friend Brent Rooker has 7 RBI or 7 home runs, 24 RBIs as their designated hitter. Lots to like in this young A's team. No idea if they're built for a full season. No idea if they have any depth whatsoever, but some really nice stars on this team.
And I've got no idea what their ballpark plays into it, right? Those are good players. I mean, Brent Rooker is like my favorite former Padre because, I talked to him twice when he was here. I've talked to him 10 times since he left. I think I talked to him in Milwaukee because that's where he showed up. And I think he got 7 at bats with the Padres. And Langeliers, Kurtz, I mean, they've got some young guys, and they seem to be committed to signing them to Jackson Merrill type contracts and trying to make it work. Love the story of the A's outside of the whole relocation thing. Love Mark Kotze. Like I said, it's a bad time to be playing the A's, I think that youth, what it does bring you is belief. Until reality intrudes, it brings you belief. And they believe right now for the A's.
Yep, absolutely. Pitching matchups tonight, Jeffrey Springs, 3-4 with a 3.93 ERA. Walker Buehler for the Padres, 3-2 with an ERA just a touch over 5. But Buehler's been okay. He's allowed 2 or fewer earned runs in 5 of his last 7 starts. He has a 3.1 ERA or so at Petco Park this season. You got to think it's at night. It's not going to be hot. Maybe those things stay in the ballpark. Seems to me like Walker Buehler is trending up.
I think he's a success story in the making. I don't want to say it's a success story already because it's so early. But like what you've gotten from Walker Buehler and the way that he's trending, I mean, yeah, this is certainly if your judgment is the $1 million, then or is it 1.5? Anyway, then. This is a success story. You are making Walker Buehler work, and Walker Buehler is pitching his way to have more of a future in the major leagues. Like I've been super, super impressed by Walker Buehler.
Absolutely. Saturday, right-hander JT Ginn, 2-2 with a 2.98 ERA, going up against Lucas Giolito, 1-0, 5.4 ERA. This will make his, this will mark his Petco Park debut as a member of the San Diego Padres. It was the velocity in his first start. He averaged 90.4 on his fastball. Is that a cause for concern short-term or long-term here, Kevin?
Look, he had a weird off season. He's a build-up guy that gets harder as he goes. Is it a cause for question? 100%. Like, yeah, okay. But concern? I don't think so, because like this guy knows how to pitch. And like if he's a build-up guy, as in his velocity gets higher, like where is he? There's not really many comparisons. Is he still in spring training as far as his work? I mean, is he in March? I mean, is he in early April as far as his work? So I don't think so. It's an easy thing to look at, and I think you have to put it into context, and I don't think that it's a concern, but it is a valid question to ask.
Right, Sunday, I think this is a favorable pitching matchup if you're a Padre fan. It's Michael King for the Padres, 4-2 with a 2.3 ERA, coming off his best start of the season to beat the Dodgers. He's going up against a lefty, Jacob Lopez, who's allowed 11 home runs in 44 innings and has almost as many walks as he has strikeouts this year. If you're a right-handed hitter, you're probably licking your chops a little bit at the idea of facing this guy on Sunday.
I want to say this. This is I played up the A's like it was the 27 Yankees coming in here to play the Padres. But I want to say this, like, in defense of the Padres to some extent, and I've done the research. The Padres, let's take any metric, ERA, FIP, stuff plus, which is measures like kind of the nastiness of pitches. In particular, take that. The Padres have faced more of the best starters in the major leagues than any other team. Now, look, some teams it's only three or four more, but a lot of teams it's 10 more. Like the Padres have 20 games in which a player with above average stuff, right, has started against them, or in the case of Chase Dolander of the Rockies, been the bulk reliever. That kid's really good. No team has, I forget if it's 15 or 16 or 17. I counted the other, those pitchers have gone against the other teams. They're facing some tough guys. So this series here, like, you know, like they're not, all right? I'm not saying these aren't good guys. These are all, but like what happens a lot of times is I want to, and I have said it before to them, like when they say we're facing good pitchers, like, yeah, but some of these guys you make look good. Like that, there's a difference, right? You're a major league hitter. It can't be the pitcher every night. Now, when you're facing Mizorowski, Yamamoto, Scooble, which have all had Otani, you did face Scooble, but earlier in the last week and a half. Okay, now you can talk to me about how you are facing the bastards of this league,
right?
But you're not doing that this weekend,
right? They're a better, improved Athletics team, but they're still the A's. I mean, they're building towards a hazy, distant future, not necessarily all in on winning in 2026. The Padres, say what you will about that, the Padres are all in this year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every episode. Today is no different. This is a simple one. Can Rodolfo Duran stick?
That's a great question, and it's a one that's been on the minds of a lot of people. I don't think so, and without an injury, like they had their two guys, those are the two guys they're going with. They Freddie Fermin has handled the pitching staff really well. He's a good defender. Now Rodolfo Duran's done basically he's got one hit, but like he's hitting the ball hard and he's handling the pitchers that he's being asked to handle. There's not anything to make that an invalid question or to think that Rodolfo Duran couldn't, but him coming up and doing, you know, this while the other catchers or while Fermin is struggling doesn't mean that Rodolfo Duran should be the guy. Now you probably got another, I would think you have another week to make this decision, because now what, Campy's been down for 3 weeks. It's 2.5, something like that. It's, he probably needs a few games to get back into it. I believe that, was it Wednesday? So 2 days ago was his first time with the gear on and getting down and catching. So we're a little bit away from that question. I can't rule it out, but like my understanding is like they're going to ride with the two guys that they you know started with, and we'll see. I mean, it's not like Rodolfo Duran is batting 250.
Right.
I mean, it's not. Now, he also, like, he won a game for him almost, right, against the Dodgers, right? Like, I mean, I'm not trying to discount what he's done, but we're kind of like, you know, the other guys just aren't doing, or I shouldn't say it. I should say Freddie Fermin just isn't performing. And so it's making it like, oh, it should be Rodolfo Duran. I don't know that there's actually been any real evidence for that.
Right. He reminds me a little bit of Jorge Alfaro in terms of Alfaro when he got to the Padres was a guy who was known for his pop time, known for his arm, and had plus-ish power. Obviously, Duran has never been the kind of prospect that Alfaro was as a minor leaguer and does not have that big league experience. Still, I think he's been cool as hell to watch here the last couple of weeks. What a great story.
Hey, one of the hardest parts of my job is to try to, when you ask me a question like that, is to be real about it, right? Because the kid is freaking amazing and it's a great story and he's performed really well. And all I really want to do is play it up as like the greatest thing ever because it's super awesome. 12 years in the minors and he makes it and then he, you know, like he's helped them out in big ways. But like, you know, to be real about it, it's like, no, I think that what they're going to do is stick with these guys, at least like that Rodolfo goes down. I'm not saying he won't be back, but you know, that's the situation right now.
Right. There are no scholarships when you're running a baseball team that's trying to win a World Series.
I will say this, man. They find a way to do stuff. Now, pitching is different than, but man, some of the stuff that, and I'm not saying they're not real. Matt Waldron is hurt. And Airman Marquez is hurt. But they find a way to fit people on their roster. I always have to put an asterisk there.
Yep. They do. They have yet to be forced to make a hard decision this year.
Right.
Padres, Athletics, 3-game series at Petco Park, starting tonight, Friday, 6:40. Saturday, also at 6:40. Kevin, is that so they can get the fireworks in? So it'll be dark when the game ends?
I guess. I'll be honest with you. I don't really pay attention to the game times. Maybe I should do a better job of that. I got to be at the ballpark anyway. I kind of look the night before and go, okay, what time do I have to be there? I guess that kind of bumps me out, but anyway.
But Sunday, a 1:10 game, Kevin, I bet you'd forgotten that there's Sunday afternoon baseball after your Sunday evening baseball the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, last couple of weeks. And then I believe Monday is also a 3. That I did notice because isn't that Memorial Day?
Monday is Memorial Day.
Yeah, another thing I don't keep track of, though that is sort of the baseball holiday. I feel like this one's a couple days early, but Memorial Day, this is going to be a tricky one. I bet you that's what I'll write about next week, Ryan. Like Memorial Day, you know, that's when they say, you know, that's when you can really judge, right? You can, your first time, you can really take seriously the standings, right? And I've looked back the last few years and like, it's like 70-80% of the teams that are in playoff position on Memorial Day are in playoff position at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. But wow. I'm going to have to look deeper this year because of all the stuff we're talking about with the Padres, right? Like how many of those teams had a, you know, +1 run differential? How many of those teams had 5 regulars batting, you know, 190 or worse? How many, like, this is such a bizarre Padres team.
It's so bizarre. So bizarre. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.